Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Why don't you grab your Bible? Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. We're going to start with the 18th verse, Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her or put her away quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said this, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. I'd like to pause right here, and I'd like you just to bow your head. And I want you to whisper this very simple prayer along with me, okay? I'm going to say it, and I'm just going to let you whisper it and repeat it in your own heart and life right where you sit this morning. Lord, I want to conceive something in my life, in my heart, in my mind, in my inmost being, of your Holy Spirit. Be gracious to me, Lord, and answer this prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of an unsung hero of the Christmas account. There are a few, but one that seems to be overlooked on occasion is Joseph, the earthly yet not biological father in Jesus' life. Here he is to be married. He's building a home for his wife. She is engaged. She is in waiting to be a bride. And now news shows up. The little bump that she's with a child. This creates a problem for Joseph. It creates a problem, a human problem, for Mary. It creates a problematic thing, not only for them, but for the community in which they live. Because to be pregnant before you're married is unacceptable. And Joseph, within lawful rights, he can bring accusation against her. He can have her stoned. He's within every right of the law. He has to deal with his own personal convictions, because the scripture says that Joseph, you know what, he was a good man. He was a righteous man. Oh, he wasn't perfect. We only know that there's one really righteous, and that is Jesus. But as far as the law and the way that he lived and the way that he honored God, he was considered a righteous man. Here's Joseph, this man who has done what's right, seeks to do what's right, seeks to honor the Lord, live an honorable life. And now the woman he's engaged to is with child. It's not his. He knows it's not his. Now he has to wrestle with conviction. He has to wrestle with his reputation. He has to wrestle with the reputation of the woman he's engaged to. What happens to us when God does something outside of our thinking? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. How do we handle when God does something in our life or in the life of someone around us that is outside of our thinking, and yet it is within the parameters of the Scripture? What happens when God does something that people can misunderstand? What happens when God does something that, you know, people not only misunderstand, they jump to conclusions? We have a tendency, don't we? We have a tendency to do that. You know, we had a board meeting recently, and Brad True was responsible for the devotional that morning. And he, in his devotional, he shared a situation that they talked about at work. And for those of you who maybe were in that meeting, forgive me, but I'll just give a little indication of it rather than make up a new one. Brad gave this story. He said, if you saw another deacon or pastor, people sitting around this table, if you saw a squad car go by and a person on your left or right was in the back of the squad, what's the first thing that would go through your mind? For example, if you saw the squad car go by and Jim Costello was in the back seat, what's the first thing that would go through your mind? The squad car went by and you saw my son in the back seat, what's the first thing that's going to go through your mind? Quit laughing. I can read your mind on that one. He's acting like his father. That's what you were thinking. What's the first thing, you know, when you know the person? We didn't really have a large discussion around the deacon table, but a couple things came out, like, first thing go through my mind, if so-and-so was in the back, it had to be a mistake. Or, oh, they just needed a ride somewhere. Yeah, to prison. No, I'm kidding. Here's Joseph, not confronted with a scenario, but what's the first thing to go through his mind? He chose Mary because she was honorable. Even greater yet, the Lord chose Mary because she found favor in his sight. What happens when God does something outside of our thinking, but not outside the bounds of Scripture or his character? It's just outside maybe of what we just take for granted as what's normal in our culture or our upbringing or in our experience. It would be like someone coming in this morning, maybe to the first time here at this church, or the first time to a church that maybe worships or sings like this, and you walked in and thought, okay, all these people are fanatic and they're a little bit nuts. It's all emotional. Because they sing loud and they've got drums and, you know, they stand up and they clap and right away, because that's outside of your thinking or expression, you chalk it up as, yeah, it's not legitimate. What happens when God does something in the life of someone around you or your own life that is conceived of the Holy Spirit, but it's outside your thinking? I've watched this happen for people from all kinds of levels. Example. In my own home, growing up, my mom had a personal salvation experience with Jesus. And so all of a sudden, as the story goes, that we started to pray together around the table before we ate. Where normally that's maybe done on a holiday or something like that, it became an everyday thing. And that kind of took my dad by surprise. Oh, okay, I guess we're doing this now. And I'm paraphrasing, they're here, they could give the testimony. It was like, okay. Not that he was terribly uncomfortable with it. I mean, he went to church. But it was something new, a little different. Maybe for some, that would be radically looked at or as if you're a fanatic. I could even come a little closer to home, because here's a Christian couple, a little closer to home for some. Here's a Christian couple. J.W. and Marlene, oh, you're sitting over here too. J.W. and Marlene believe in God, love the Lord, attend the church. He was a deacon. And then an outpouring of God's Spirit came in a very wonderful and unique way to this church that they attended. And she was, you have matching shirts on, that's very nice. Just notice that, you two. And you got the nice belt buckles and everything. Do you guys stand up? Look at that. Look at these two. Look at that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You'll notice them today when they leave. They are each riding Morgan Palominos or something out there, quarter horses. You look good, you two. J.W. Marlene in this outpouring came and Marlene was, not that J.W. wasn't touched by it, but Marlene, you know, up to that point, she kind of sat back. Is it okay to tell this a little bit? Is this all right? I'm getting the nod, yes. I should have asked first. I figured forgiveness was better than permission. I had a better chance in the crowd. But Marlene was kind of reserved in her faith and expression and things like that with the Lord. And J.W., he's on the board and he's going at it and he's part of small groups and doing all this stuff. And then the Spirit of the Lord significantly began to transform Marlene and touch her. And she became very expressive, prayerful, I would say probably happier, a little less reserved. And J.W. wasn't used to that. He was kind of used to being seen as the spiritual one. Not that she started to be seen as a spiritual one and he wasn't. It was just, you know, I'm not used to this. This has been the pattern. And I'm glad you touched her, Lord, but, you know, this is different. I got to get used to this. Now, let's not get too wild. I've watched this happen with other couples. I was on staff at another church outside Detroit, and we had a similar visitation from God over a season of, you can call it a revival, spiritual awakening, whatever you want to call it, and it began to move through that church. And it was wonderful. But, I mean, it started to really transform people. I mean, yes, their life improved, but their spiritual intensity. I mean, we started to see things that this Presbyterian Assembly of God Church has never seen before. I'll let you catch up with the phrasing. And when I say Presbyterian, that's not a criticism. It's just that, you know, it's a little more reserved. And that's kind of how this Assembly of God Church is, just a little more reserved. You sing your two hymns, your three courses, you sit down, you hear a message, you stand up, we close in prayer, and you go home. And all of a sudden, those parameters started to change. And things became real personal. And there was a real excitement about coming to church. And what's God going to do today? And service has been so different. And I just feel compelled. And I feel close to God. And I'm, you know, reading and studying during the week. And I can't get enough of the Lord. And I'm praying more. And, you know, He's in my conversation more. And I've got this new burden for people around me to know Him and find Him. And all, you know, and then we started to see different expressions in worship. I mean, we used to watch where couples sat together in a pew, and now and they're both Christians, and he stays there, and now she's up at the front, and she's not just up at the front worshiping, she's jumping and dancing. What are people going to think of her? Why is everyone looking at me? Her husband, and oh, what are they going to think of this? And, you know, I'm going to probably have to have a talk with her. And whoa, pony, just settle down. You want to do that around the house when I'm not there? That's fine. When I'm there, you know, take it to a room. And at church, raising your hand is okay. Crying a little or kneeling in the pew is acceptable. But this whole dancing around the front thing, you know, come on. Sometimes we all need a talking to from the angel of the Lord that says, do not be afraid, for what you see has been conceived of the Holy Spirit in them. Joseph, a hero, he made a plan, a practical plan, to put Mary away quietly. And I'll tell you, even in that alone, the man is admirable, because he could have done something very different by the rights of the law. But because he loved her, he did not want her to endure public disgrace. Joseph loved Mary. The history behind it is that, you know, she was the apple of his eye. He loved her. He wanted her for his wife. He was a righteous man making a good decision. And then this happened. And in it still, after he sorted through all the different things, he was just going to put her away quietly, loved her, but could not defile himself or his reputation, and just put her away quietly that she wouldn't have to endure public disgrace. And the Lord said, Joseph, it's okay for you to take her home and be your wife, because that which Mary has conceived has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes what God does when it's outside of our thinking or outside other people's thinking is we tend to be embarrassed, or we tend to be shy, or we have to now grapple with what we used to call conviction that was based upon our mind and tradition, not based upon God or His Word. And it goes outside of our cultural conviction, which is not sin. It's just some standard we set up. And now God works outside it. And now we have to grapple with this. It's a tough thing when a person has to come to grips and wrestle with their own standards, especially when those standards are misunderstood or they conflict God's standards. So Joseph, according to God's leading and words of wisdom and insight, Joseph takes her, and you know the story. I want you to know, when we conceive something of the Lord, it doesn't come without conflict. We think that everything that comes from God, of course, it being good, that all of a sudden it's just acceptable by everybody, and everybody else rejoices and is happy with it. I want you to know that that's not the case. There are people who will misunderstand it. There will be people who will misjudge it. And they can even be Christian people. I've watched a move of God and God's outpouring of His Spirit come into a church, and I've watched it split friendships within the church. I've watched it. I've seen it happen. People who were friends for a long time, and God came and did something good, and one party didn't think it was all that great, and they chose contrary, and now it took a friendship apart. Oh, God didn't take the friendship apart. We have choice in the matters. But we come to a place like this and we want to worship Him, and we say we love Him, and we say we want to honor Him. And none of that is in question this morning. That's not where I'm going with that. It's just that those seem to be the indicators of our motive. And yet, if we were to allow God by His Spirit to penetrate into our hearts and our inmost being, understand that because He is full of life, we will conceive something of Him. Something of fresh faith. Something that's very personal. Maybe it is hope that we conceive, that He puts within us as a promise that He will strengthen us and there will be better days ahead, that He will walk with us through the conflict we now face. Maybe that's what we conceive. Maybe we conceive a something that would be a little more demonstrative or public, that we would conceive this new excitement and joy of the Lord. That moves beyond the joy that we had. Follow me? Becomes something that was expressed. A joy that can't be contained. A joy that wants to be shared through expression, through conversation, through the way we treat people, the way we respond to God. And some would look at this as strange. Or say, you're not the person you used to be. And gladly we should say, yeah, that's right. Hear this. You have the permission to change. I've got the permission to change. In fact, it's God's purpose for us that we would be transformed by thinking a very different way. So that we would now be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Conceiving something of the Holy Spirit. I mean, after all, you know, look at how God did things outside the box. Outside of human thinking. Hey, Noah. Build an ark. What's an ark? I'm going to cause water or rain. What's rain? It's one thing for God to come to you now and say, hey, build a boat. You're like, well, yeah, I know what a boat is. Now let God come to you and ask you to do something that you've never thought of. You didn't even know what it was. He had to tell you what it was. Build an ark. I'm going to flood the earth. Oh, I'm going to... Now, let's look at Moses. Here, we're going to raise up a leader and all the children are being killed and a mother, her plan... Her plan is to weave a basket and put her child in it and send it down the river? That's the plan? To preserve a child? I mean, how many of you mothers would put your child in a basket and send it down the river on its own? Huh? Now, once they're teenagers, maybe. But an infant? No, not likely. You go ahead and look through history, and God did things outside of humans' thinking. Because it was conceived of God's Spirit within them. Come on. Look at the cross, the very Son of God. That He is going to bring salvation to the world by dying on a cross? No. The humans were thinking, God's people were thinking, bring a great religious leader. Someone who can command the military. Make decisions in office. That will free His people. Jesus came and served, died. Rose again. Well, now the plan seems to improve. We like that. Do you understand what it took for people to convert to Christ? They had to worship a criminal. No, not that Jesus sinned, but He died as a criminal. The cross was looked at as a scorn, a thing of scorn. Criminals died there. And now Jesus goes there, and that's somehow going to cause me to convert and worship him? See, we didn't live then or in the culture, and we don't grasp all that it meant. We just look now at a cross on the wall of a church, know that Jesus represents my sins are forgiven because Jesus bled there, died there for me. Still, it sounds like foolishness to so many. God working outside the thinking of humanity, but it was a plan and conceived of God and by His Spirit. What about Pentecost? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We like the part that says, whoo, the people sense the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was outpoured, and now they had power. Power to do miracles, power to do things beyond their own resource, power to do things in God's name. Yeah, well, don't forget the other part that sometimes embarrasses people. Because when the Holy Spirit was outpoured, the way, the proof that a person was baptized or immersed in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, is they began to speak in tongues. Oh, yeah. That's right. The thing that maybe we try to hide, or the thing we shy away from. Why? Was it not given of God, of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, but people don't understand. Yeah, I'd like to keep Mary as my wife, but people don't understand. We pray to conceive something of God's Spirit, a fresh work of God, a personal faith in our own life. Are we embarrassed of it? Do we shy away from it? Do we hide it under a bushel? No! I had to do that part because that's a part of the song. What do we do? Well, I don't want to completely hide anything because, you know, it's fairly acceptable to go to church in our culture, even though there are people who don't agree with it. But what about the personal faith part? Where it gets real personal and it shows up in our life. Don't be afraid of that. Don't hide it. Live it. Embrace it. Joseph, that which was conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. That which is conceived in you, which you have conceived, and it's spiritual in its nature and in its creation and in its motive and in its activity. Understand it's from the Holy Spirit. Take it home. Joseph, take her home. When you conceive, take it home. If something of the Holy Spirit begins to happen in your spouse that is outside of your thinking, but not outside of God's Scripture, you'll know it's from God by that. Take it home. Take it home. Don't take it home to hide it. It means embrace it. Encourage it. Allow it to happen. We've been praying around here, oh Lord, right? Do these things again in our day. You do wonderful things we stand in awe of. Oh, please, would you do these things again in our life? Well, if God answers that prayer, do I understand that we will conceive things of the Holy Spirit that we are going to begin to change? We're going to be different. And there are going to be some people around you who are going to notice the difference. They may like it. They may not. They might be embarrassed of it. They might shy away from it. They might disagree with you over it. They might misrepresent you because they misunderstand. Or they might just simply misrepresent you because they're not willing to allow God to do that in their life, and they don't want to look wrong, so they try to make you look foolish. I desire a work of the Lord within us. Me. You. I want to conceive something of the Holy Spirit, like salvation. Oh, the Holy Spirit drew me. The Father drew me. Jesus drew me to Him. And out of His kindness, I responded in personal faith in Him and asked forgiveness of sin. And said, yes, I want to live for you now. Help me. That's conceived. Salvation conceived in us now, wanting to grow and develop and mature. There's other things of God that we need to conceive of. Understand that you are made for conception? All of us. When it comes to the Spirit, we are made for conception. You look in James. Oh, don't say you're tempted by God, because God tempts no man. But when you are tempted, it is because of your own evil desires within you. And when desire takes place, it's conceived, James writes. And then it grows, and it comes to full term, and it produces death. We're made for conception. We are made to conceive. The Holy Spirit doing things, the fruit of God within us, the fruit of His character, the fruit of His works, the fruit of His thinking, fruit of faith in Him that goes outside of this world's community of thinking. We are made to house the Holy Spirit within us. We call this our body. What did the Apostle Paul write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? He says this body is the what? The temple of who? The Holy Spirit. That we are made in God's image, and we are made to conceive and house who He is and what He's like and His Spirit within us. Without embarrassment, without being shy, understanding that not everyone will understand it and be readily to accept it always right away. But it's of the Lord. As long as it does not go against God, His nature, His Word, it is conceived of the Holy Spirit. And we're to embrace it in our life, in the lives of people around us, as God does things in their heart and life. Change can be a challenging and difficult thing for all of us. But that is what God desires. He came to do things outside of our thinking because the intellect of man is futile. Right? Oh, God helps us and we do some good things up here, but we can't do anything up here to save us. God had to come and do something outside of our ability to rescue us. And that which is started in the Spirit, we're supposed to continue to walk in the Spirit through all the days of our life. So hear this, as we pray, oh Lord, you know, we've heard of your fame, we stand in awe of your deeds. Oh Lord, renew them in our day, in our time, make them known in your wrath, remember mercy. Do these great things in our life too, Lord, that we read about in the Scripture. Do these great things. Understand that you are asking, when you pray that, to conceive something of the Holy Spirit. And He will probably respond and do something outside of what you call normal. He will do something outside of your thinking. They were not thinking, bring us a Savior who was born of a virgin. Not only is it outside our thinking, that's impossible. But that which is impossible for man, the scripture says, is not impossible for God.
Amen.
You mean the bass player can walk over and say, my hand has been hurting, I've not been going to the doctor, I really think I broke something in it, it has been bothering me, would you pray for me? Okay, the procedure was not, okay, let's take an x-ray, we're going to cut you open right here at the front of the church, I'll get out my rabbinical tools. None of that. To think that you just lay hands on and ask God that that's going to bring healing, that's outside of people's thinking. And yet, if we believe, we ask in faith that the simple laying on of hands and asking God and saying amen and walking away brought healing? That's outside humanity's thinking. And boy, am I glad. I'm glad that he thought of sending his son from a virgin. I'm glad. I'm grateful. Now it gives me hope that I can have a future, that I can be forgiven of a past, that he can still do fresh and new things in me, even though he doesn't walk this earth in bodily form, that he ascended, he's at the right hand of God, still interceding for me, still trying to help me out. That's outside of our thinking. But I'm so glad it is. I'm so glad that he thought of it. That he loves me enough to go beyond the bounds, the limitations that I have to rescue. That saving me means you have to die for me? No, I would never think that. Joseph, I know that you're a righteous man. And I know that you're wondering about things because your fiancée is pregnant. But Joseph, Joseph, I know you've made a plan. I know in your planning, you are lawful. I know that in your planning, you're doing this as gracious as possible. But Joseph, your plan is no good. This is the plan, Joseph. Take Mary. Because what she's conceived is from the Holy Spirit. Those who believe in Christ, they enjoy that whole principle and concept in the Christmas story. But understand, it's not just a concept and principle in the story that's supposed to stay there. Those principles are supposed to work their way down to my life. Oh Lord, I'm supposed to conceive something from you. Others who believe in you are supposed to conceive something of a fresh faith in them. What happens when it looks different than what I thought it should look like? Oh Lord, help me to be honorable like Joseph and follow your instructions to embrace what you do in the people around us, though it might be different than my experience, though it might be more demonstrative than what I have experienced, even though I may have walked with you, Lord, longer than they have. You see, this is not the Teamster Union. Hear me? This is not about seniority. This is about thirst and hunger and faith. And those who are younger or haven't walked with the Lord as long as maybe some of us, but they are hungrier and thirstier and move in faith more, than understand, they will conceive more. It's just the way it is. How can that be? I've been walking with the Lord longer. I'm more mature. Wait a minute. Those of you who agreed to get in this kingdom at the beginning to get paid penny for a day, those who come in at the end of the day who did less work still came in for a penny. And those who worked all day can't be mad or envious or argumentative about it. Because after all those pennies belong to the master. The kingdom of heaven is so outside of human thinking. May we keep in step with heaven's thinking. Keep in step with His Spirit. Embrace what God is doing in people around us. And may we start to get thirsty and hungry, no matter how long we've walked with the Lord or how short it's been. Oh God, do something new in me.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.